So we have two speakers, actually, to deliver our next topic, Kenneth Ma and Kevin Yi. Kevin Yi is the Technical Business Development Director with Cadence and Chair of the MIPI Marketing Steering Group. He has played a significant role in providing strategic guidance while assessing industry trends to validate the needs for new specifications. And with him, Kenneth Ma is the Director of Technology Planning with Huawei HiSilicon and Chair of the MIPI Technical Steering Group, which focuses on defining the MIPI technology roadmap that orchestrates the organization's work. Kenneth was the recipient of the 2014 MIPI Special Achievement Award. To kick off the presentation, here is Kevin Yi.
Good morning, everyone. And I have the pleasure to talk about 5G and what MIPI is doing with 5G. And as it was presented, it will be two of us. And we're gonna present this very similar to how your companies run, okay? Meaning, on the marketing side, I'm gonna talk about what I want and set the foundation. And I'm gonna leave the hard stuff for Ken, which is on the engineering side, to say, how am I gonna do it and what the reality is about that, okay? So we've heard a lot about 5G already from the keynote and even from Peter. And so I was thinking, as we do this presentation, how do you boil down to just a few words or a few sentences what 5G is all about in terms of the vision? What are we trying to do with 5G, and what is the vision for 5G? And this is what I came up with. 5G is about connecting everyone. And we already see that starting with 4G. Today you go to a coffee shop, and instead of people talking, you see everyone on their cell phone talking to someone else, or they're texting or WeChatting. That's connecting everyone. But 5G wants to go a step beyond that. 5G is not about just connecting everyone, but it's about connecting to everything. Meaning, now I can be connected to my TV, my smart speaker, my home, things at work. That's what 5G is going to enable us to do. It's not just to connect to other people, but to connect to everything and things to things, meaning cars talking to cars, cars talking to traffic signals, okay? And then even a step beyond that, what you're talking about is not just connecting everyone to everything, but having that connection all the time, okay? So that's really the vision of 5G, I think, that the industry is driving for, is we have this connectivity all over the place, okay? Now, all of this is going to start with mobile, and we've been talking about that, and that's what MIPI drives. So I thought a kind of cool exercise is to go back in history a little bit. So I brought some of my old phones, and this is where I need help. I'm going to bring up a phone, and anyone else, just yell it out if you think you know what it is. Is when you think of iconic phones and you think the candy bar phone, and I know this is going to be kind of hard, what do you think of? So if you can tell me what phone this is and what year it was introduced. Anyone? What? Nokia? 2002. Is anyone else guessing? Okay. This was actually introduced in 1999. Okay. The Nokia 8210. Iconic candy bar phone. Now, when you think of iconic flip phones, the Star Trek phone, which phone do you think of? Anyone remember this one? So which phone is this, and what year was it introduced? Razor. The Razor, exactly. What year? Any years? Okay. About 5 years later, 2004. Okay. And then I'm here in Korea, so I have to introduce a phone. When we start getting towards smartphones, bigger screens, keyboards with the slide. Okay, what phone, what year? Any guess? Samsung phone, introduced in 2009. So you have a slide with a keyboard. So it kind of shows the progression of what we've been doing with mobile and how it's progressed over the years. So those phones were about 5 year implements. Okay, so I wanted to just show that, and we've seen versions of this already in terms of the mobile evolution of 5G. In 81, we had the analog phones, and some of you guys remember those phones with the really thick batteries, really bulky, and it was analog. About 10 years later, we had digital phones, CDMA, GSM. That was a big battle of which were you going to do? Do you hit GSM or CDMA? About 10 years later, introduction of 3G. Up to 2 megabit pixel bits per second. And then about 10 years after that, where we are today, primarily is 4G today, where we have smartphones all over the place. Okay? And now we're moving into that time where I changed it. It's a mobile platform right now. It's not just about mobile phones. It's phones will be the first things, but it's going to go beyond that. And that's where we're seeing the evolution of mobile and what 5G is going to play. Because 5G is going to enable much more than what 3G or 4G did for us in the past. Okay? So we see that 5G is in the market today. If you look at what was done earlier this year at Mobile World Congress, lots of announcements. Everyone booth was talking about 5G. And it's moved from a concept phase into an implementation phase. We heard announcements, at least in the US, all the major carriers are doing their test trial deployments in terms of infrastructures, okay? We're seeing announcements of concept phones that are out there, and many of your companies have already announced potential phones, and we see that ramp up coming up at the end of this year, probably the beginning of next year, okay? So 5G is in the market today, and it is being driven. And the beauty of it is a lot of this initial in the mobile, because that's where it started, they are leveraging what MIPI has done in terms of what cameras, what displays, you know, and it's a progression. Higher resolutions, more bandwidth, more throughput. And MIPI has charted that to make sure that we are ready for 5G, and that's what Ken's going to talk about in a little bit, about where MIPI sits, are we ready for 5G, and how it needs to change, because 5G is still changing. Okay? But the key here really is that MIPI is still leading the charge in 5G for mobile. Okay? So very clear, the first stage of 5G will be in the mobile space, and MIPI is still a leader there. As 5G evolves, MIPI will continue to look at how it can still help and enable this 5G era of development. Okay. But a lot of people always ask the question is, how big will 5G be? And everyone has different answers. So I'm going to put some numbers up now. And with that, it's changing on a monthly basis. You talk to different people and you see different numbers. But what I can say is 5G will be big. And with that said, you see some of the numbers out there. We're talking about throughput and bandwidths of 10 gigabits and potentially up to 20 times higher and faster than 4G is today. We're talking about a lot of money behind it in terms of investments and growth in the billions of dollars, you know, over 200 billion in investments, over 500 billion in growth. We're talking about new jobs being created just because of 5G. Okay, so we're seeing really large numbers and really high expectations for what we expect in 5G over the course. Now, one thing I say is, just like the transition from 3G to 4G, it didn't happen right away. When 4G first came out, it was actually slower than 3G. Okay, and there was a transition, and now everything is 4G. You will see the same thing for 5G. As we roll out 5G, it will be an evolution of 5G to get to the expected growth of what 5G is going to be, how fast it can go, how low power it can go, and everything else. But the big thing with 5G is, 5G is much more of a worldwide and international driving force today. So if you look at it right now, the race is on for 5G. And if you look at it, it is China and Korea right now that is in the lead in terms of driving that race in terms of spectrum, infrastructure, changing the laws, making it available. So we see that from an Asia perspective, it is really being driven very hard from China and Korea, followed up by the US and then Japan and then Europe after that. Okay, so there's a lot of activities because frequency sped trims have to be addressed. 5G is not just about the phones, but it's about the low end of the spectrum as well. And we've seen that. And because this is such an international event and being driven worldwide, MIPI has made it a strategic priority, and I think you've heard it from Peter, is this is something that both from a marketing and from a technical aspect, we are tracking 5G to make sure that we are ready for the changes that happen within 5G. And so we've made it, as an organization, a strategic priority to follow 5G. Okay. So if you look at it from a customer perspective, why do I want 5G? Because 5G is changing the way the world's going to run. This is a survey that was done, and if you look at it, a lot of the reasons is I want higher performance. Okay, I don't want to have to connect to Wi-Fi all the time. I want to download faster. I want higher quality on my streaming video. And that's what the surveys show right now that people are expecting from 5G. So really what you're talking about is a better wireless experience. I want my wireless experience to be much better. That means I want to be connected all the time. I want it to be much faster. I want higher quality. I want to handle data, large amounts of data, better. Okay? At the same time, if you go at 5G and the changing world, why are they doing, how is this transition going to happen in the course of the next few years? So you look at transitions, we still have phones out there that are 3G today, but the bulk of it is 4G. And what I would say is 4G will continue to be strong, and in the course of the next year and the next few years, 5G will start to ramp. And you will see that what we're going to do is 3G will start to diminish, 4G will likely hit its peak in terms of volume next year, and then from there, it's going to be a ramp up of 5G. And 5G will continue to grow and start taking market share. At the same time, what you'll see is not just a percentage of that market, the market will grow in itself. Okay? So now we've talked about why 5G, we've talked about how 5G is going to transition. The next thing is, where is it going to transition first in terms of regions? And if you look at adoption today, as I mentioned earlier, is it reflects where the infrastructure is. You know, China and Korea was driving it, right? US is following, then Japan, then Europe. And that's where you're going to see a lot of the adoption. It's going to be the US and Asia first. But moving forward, we believe that the statistics show that Asia will drive a lot of the adoption of 5G mobile. This is not even talking to other things outside of mobile for 5G. So we see a very strong growth over the course of the next few years for 5G. So the message I have here is 5G is here. You're going to see that deployment. So start your MIPI designs. MIPI is ready for it, and Ken's going to talk about the technical details about what MIPI has done to make sure that we're ready for this 5G era. Okay? So the fun stuff about it, as I said, is I'm going to drive the marketing side of it. So where is 5G going? Beyond mobile, what are we going to do? Okay? So if you look at what do we expect? What's 5G going to give you? We talked about that from the various presentations already. We're expecting 5x more responsiveness. So for you engineers, lower latency. This lower latency is going to enable mission-critical applications. So you can use wireless on applications you can't because the latency is too long today. One of it that everyone expects is vehicle-to-vehicle, cars talking to each other. This is mission-critical, but you need that low latency to talk to each other. Then you're talking about better power, lower, because the range is going to be from very high performance to very low performance, so you adjust your battery life. So from a battery life, we're expecting 10 times better. Then you're talking about, at the high end, 20x faster performance, which means your streaming, your video conference calls will be better, your downloading of videos will be much faster instead of brought before like 20 minutes down to 1 minute. Okay, so we're talking about much higher performance. Then this is the exciting stuff, 100 times more connected devices than today. Today we are already super connected, and now the anticipation is 100 times more connections. With those connections, what you're talking about is up to 1,000 times more data going through. You have more connections, more people streaming, more people doing different things across that. That is expectation. So you're talking about from 5x to 10x, to 20x, to 100x, to 1,000x. And that's what 5G potentially can enable. So what we're talking about for 5G is it's about scalability, it's about capabilities, and it's about efficiencies. And that's what we're driving for in MIPI right now, is making sure our specifications are scalable for what we expect from 5G, that we have the capability to support the requirements, and that we do it efficiently. Okay? So 5G is going to change the way we live, and that's very clear. I'm not going to cover everything, but it's already starting that with 4G. We talk about in our entertainment and commerce, how we pay for things. AR and VR, augmented realities, we're already seeing that come about. Interactive media, okay? Matt just talked about it. Smart cars, cars talking to cars, autonomous driving. 5G enables a lot of that applications to go on. We see the smart cities, the smart homes, the schools where you're connected to your home, you do learning online, you use AR devices to do for schools. So some schools are already doing that. Companies are already buying AR devices to do training at their companies. Okay, and this one scares me a little bit, but I think it's going to happen, is remote doctors doing diagnosis. That doesn't bother me, but potentially remote operations. Okay, so those are some of the concepts that people believe that 5G will enable. Okay, but what I want to stress is 5G is still in its infancy. Though it's here, it will take time to develop, to grow, to evolve. And there's going to be a lot of new emerging use cases, and people are still trying to figure out what that is. Okay, so we're at an inflection point right now. There's a lot of opportunities, and what MIPI is going to do is, because it's a strategic priority, we are going to look into it and say, what are the opportunities? And we're not going to cover everything in 5G, but we're going to say, we can add value in this area, or this area, or this area. And that's what MIPI is going to do, is we're going to work with all of our work groups and say, hey, with cameras, where does it fit? What applications? What use cases? So what is MIPI doing next? Is for 5G, we are wiring the future of 5G. We are focusing on the interfaces and providing that wired interface. We want to maintain our leadership in the mobile market because that will be the first area in 5G. But we're also going to look beyond the mobile and expand leadership where it makes sense to, because we won't be the best at everything in 5G because 5G is so broad. But there are areas that we can add a lot of value with standardizations, with our specifications. And finally, the goal of MIPI is really to enable our members as well as the industry to be successful in this 5G era. Okay? So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Ken, and he's going to do the tough part about it, is the reality. Where are we and how are we going to get there?
There you go, Ken.
Thank you very much. Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Kenneth Ma. Glad to be here. In the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to talk about the potential implications of 5G to MIPI, and then how we evaluate our own 5G readiness to the various MIPI specification. And I will also touch a little bit on how MIPI Alliance, as an organization, how we get ourselves ready in order to continue to lead in the race of the 5G from the mobile system architecture perspective, and also how we address the beyond mobile as well. So potential implications. How does the 5G affect the MIPI? It can affect in different way. 5G itself, we realize it is not just mobile, as Kevin has given a very detailed talk. It has broader applications, but the first wave of the devices will be smartphones. And that will be the kind of devices that will enable the deployment of the 5G. So we want to focus ourselves to make sure that we are addressing and either ready or exceed the requirements of the first wave of the 5G smartphones coming. Changing requirements. I'm sorry, the 5G NR, it is the new radio technologies, and it has a lot of key RF innovations there, and then definitely has some kind of implications to the RF subsystems, which we are also addressing in using the RFFE, for example. The changing requirements, whether we know it or not, the 4G LTE has changed a lot of the system requirements that is not related to the wireless technology. You know, it gets system is faster, it drives your CPU, graphics, performance is faster. Everything gets changed because of the advancement of the market, not necessarily because of the wireless technology directly. So we need to address that as well. So examples of the potential impact is the RFFE, the massive MIMO and the millimeter wave, which is actually the phase two requirements. Those will have implications. The camera and the display. Beyond the very sophisticated camera on the smartphone today already, we saw the directions that will be driven by 5G towards vision and imaging in the emerging use cases. So the camera working group is working very hard to address the current need, as well as looking into the future to those kind of transitions. Display, other than the display resolutions, the bandwidth and the performance, we actually have the expansion to the touch, and like a display and the touch integrations, and also the XR use cases, we are working towards that as well. The I3C, you heard the presentation by Ken Faust, very broad use cases. This is a very advanced control and data interfaces that is going to add a lot more advanced and accurate sensors into the 5G platforms, which will work together with the 5G in the future to enable much more sophisticated use cases. Some of the use cases we don't know yet because they are emerging, but they will be coming. And then we are here to anticipate and to drive those transitions together. You may have seen this spider chart many times already. Basically, just want to point out that the in the 5G, the five peak data user rate, the peak data rate, the user experience data rate, the latency, and the connection density, they are at least an order of magnitude better than the 4G LTE. So with that kind of substantial improvement, we can enable many more new application classes. Most of the industry usually we call it the EMBB, Enhanced Mobile Broadband. With the URLLC, which is the ultra-reliable low-latency communications, that enables the mission-critical communications. And then with the high connection density, they enable the MMTC, the massive machine-type communications. Because there will be billions of IoT and sensors and wearable devices out there, you need the connection density, not the speed, in order to support that. And the 5G is going to enable all that. Now, these are application classes, but the use case themselves, it is a short list. There are many more. Like Kevin said, some of them are already here, like online gaming and video streaming, but the 5G is going to enable and enhance or even accelerate some of the use cases and penetration. For example, online gaming. If you are using 4G playing the game against a guy with 5G, his latency is going to be shorter, and then he's going to potentially beat you if every skill level is the same. Because it is talking about 10 plus millisecond versus maybe down to a millisecond, depending on the conditions. So some use cases like a 360-degree video upstreaming, people have been talking about that. It's not very popular because you don't really get the bandwidth or the resolutions. When you combine that, but the uplink, you actually need quite a bit of bandwidth. So those can be accelerated by 5G. But like V2X, vehicle-to-X, vehicle-to-vehicle applications, those use cases, it pretty much cannot be used with the 4G LTE. So the 5G will enable some new use cases, enhance and accelerate some existing use cases. As we see it. So in terms of the devices, other than the 5G mobile devices, and of course the XR HMD, the connected car, multi-sensor devices, wearables, and all those devices we anticipate would be have advancement and enhanced by the 5G as we move forward. But again, for the initial focus, we are still focusing on the 5G mobile from a readiness standpoint because this is what is coming next. So, in order to evaluate whether MIPI is 5G ready, we take our standard MIPI mobile system diagram, refine it a little bit towards a more practical 5G mobile block diagram here. It looks similar, but let's say in the RFFE sections, we put in the RFFE direct antenna control to illustrate the multi-antenna, maybe the massive MIMO moving forward. We look at the camera side. Other than the standard camera, you can have a time-of-flight sensor, depth sensors, and all this stuff. We put it into a diagram in the form such that it looks like a 5G system by the expert, and then we then look at all the interfaces inside and analyze whether we are 5G ready or not. But what does 5G readiness mean? It's difficult. So we set up two criteria for ourselves. The first criteria is that if the specification is targeted to be 2021 feature, performance, bandwidth, and beyond, then we consider it as 5G ready. The second criteria is that if the specification is all going to be deployed in the first wave of the 5G smartphone coming next year, we consider them to be 5G ready. I mean, by definition, you are on a 5G phone, you definitely is 5G ready. So with these two criteria, we are going to do some evaluation of that. So in here, you actually see a 9 specification of the MIPI that we are evaluating, but because today we don't have much time, so we can only do talk about 3 of them, and then we will give you an overall summary. So the first one, the RFFE. So RFFE up to the version 2.0 is pretty much 100% adoption in the smartphone world. And the version 2.1, which is adopted earlier in 2018, it is designed to support the 5G NR radio FR1 band, which is a sub-6 gigahertz band, and then which introduced additional features. Like lower latency and multiple message types, it allowed the flexible configuration and extended and more accurate trigger support. So the version 2.1, we know that it is coming with the first wave of the 5G and it enabled the smartphone because there are actually no other solutions out there that can enable that. So but our evaluation criteria, the version 2.1 is 5G ready. However, the 5G NR is coming into phases because it itself, 5G is evolving, and then they already separate into phase one and phase two in the get-go when they have to do the specification. So the phase two has a millimeter wave, massive MIMO, advanced carrier aggregations, those kind of features. Version 2.1, we are still evaluating whether there's any potential gaps to address that. But the workgroup already starting the development for the version 3 and also evaluating if there's a need for the next generation after the version 3 to support the, for example, the FR2 band, the advanced carrier aggregations, the massive MIMO with much more antenna elements and higher data rate and more data path can be supported by, for example, you can either use a multi-lane, you can either enhance the protocol to improve it, or you can use a faster bus frequency. All these are in our, you know, the war chest that we can use to investigate how we can address the next generation. So the and the RFFE working group also working with organizations like IWPC to collect the input from the operators. But then you know, we need inputs from the expert members in order to make sure that we have the market and the industry input to define the requirements for the next generation. So if you have any inputs and requirements, please do let us know, and then we'll work together to make sure that we address the next phase. So this is just, we won't go through the details here. This is how we do internally one way to make sure that we are ready, and we are ready in an ongoing basis. We call SWOT, right? The strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat analysis. We first look at our strength, and it is 100% market adoption, which is good. But we want to look at some weaknesses, if there's any, and then the opportunity. We already know that the version 3, maybe the NG, will need to address the next phase of the 5G NR, but also the threat. The key is that we want to make sure that we give the signal to ourselves what is coming, what is changing, what is the threat that we need to address. So we do it for all the different work groups that is relevant to the 5G readiness in evaluation. So RFFE is 5G ready. We also then look into other work groups. Camera. Camera, the CSI2 specification, I think, is a beloved specification. It is, like RFFE, it is 100% adoption in the smartphone, basically. However, if you look at the this projection of the payload, we, based on history, we see approximately 4 to 5x per 5 years, which is quite a steep ramp. And this gives us a projection to 2020-21 timeframe of the 40 to 50 gigabit per second in the mobile and 12 to 24 as defined by the automotive workgroups towards that timeframe as well. However, if you look at the CSI2 version 3 that is coming, it's not adopted yet, but it's going to be adopted sometime in 2019, we already can address this 40 to 50 gigabit per second with the next generation of the PHY. And from a bandwidth perspective, we already meet that requirements. And this shows how the MIPI will look into the requirements early, define it early in anticipation of the market need. And in fact, this is earlier than when the market need. So we are here, we are ready. But we'd go further beyond that. If you look at the list of the features here, we want to have the support to enable the vision and imaging, some intelligence applications instead of just a standard camera applications. So we have features like the smart region of interest, which can help the IoT and the drone, some real-time applications where some of the intelligence are on the camera sensor side. The AVRET, which is AR-VR eye tracking features, which can help with the XR-HMD head-mount display features. We have the latency reduction features, long reach, RAW 24 up to support the superior image quality. The CCS, which is a camera command set to support the unified driver development, if you want to leverage that, that run on top of the CCI and which supporting the I3C that is upcoming. So you have a substantial improvement on the CCI interface and also some security feature enhancement as well. So again, it is 100% adopted in the existing the generation of the phones. We anticipate a full adoption in the first wave of the 5G smartphone as well. So again, we are 5G ready, but we are going forward with the additional features. Similarly, we do the same thing for the camera SWOT, so I won't repeat the details here. So display. You may have seen this chart somewhere. The display, based on the history of the data rate projection, it actually go even faster. The RAM is expected to be 9x every 5 years. when we set this kind of a curve, we're really talking about the peak of the peak. It is not even the normal flagship phone or the mainstream phone. It is some people who want to use this spec for some really exotic, very, very sophisticated high resolution, high bandwidth display. So we are projecting to the point to enable those applications, but not necessarily we mean that it is the application will use it in the broad sense. Most of the devices today, they are still using much lower bandwidth than what the DSI, CSI, two can provide. But if you look at that, if we go through that the 9x every 5 year curve, you will see that it go beyond 100 gigabit very quickly. And then what happened is that the MIPI Alliance and also the Display Working Group has seen this coming. And then back several years ago, they already have a liaison with the Visa. And then we have adopted the 3-to-1 compression, the DSC, Display Stream Compression Standard, from Visa into the DSI version 1.1 specification. That has been in the standard. Many of the phones today already using this. With the 5-to-1, the VDCM that we recently announced supported in the DSI 2 version 1.1, you can see that we can actually support 90 gigabit per second with DeFi and 120 gigabit per second with CeFi with the spec that already been ratified earlier this year. So we already can support the 2024 timeframe bandwidth requirements if you're based on this chart. So again, by definitions, we are 100% adopted. The bandwidth is way beyond the 2021 requirements, and then from that angle, we are 5G ready. And of course, we are doing additional things, like I mentioned earlier, on the touch, on the XR application side also. So again, the SWOT will give us a view to the big pictures, and then basically we want to look at the additional opportunity like XR. When we go beyond mobile, there are some market spaces where the other specifications are more strong. EDP is one example. They're very strong in certain applications. So if when we are ready to go to beyond mobile into those new market area, we will want to make sure that we equip ourselves and then have ourselves ready to address the market need, so that, again, your inputs will be much appreciated. We talk about three of them, and then together with the Phi. So the camera, display, Phi, and RFFE, we are 5G ready. I hope you agree with my assessment, with our assessment. And then the audio, MIPI SlimBus 2.0 and the SoundWire, they are poised to be deployed in the 5G-enabled smartphone as well. Probably not 100%, but then many of them will have it. The Rio, which is a reduced I/O workgroup, and then the VGI, GPIO's version 1.0 specification, which enables substantial pin savings, is in the process of being released. And you will see it either towards the end of this year, early next year. And what is additional to the VGI function to merge to do the pin reduction for virtualizing the GPIO, it is also suitable as an interface for the low to mid-end 5G modem for IoT applications or remote sensor applications, because they can also support up to 78 megabit per second, so which is fast enough for those kind of application. Sensor, I3C, I mean, no question. I think Ken Faus gave a very strong story about how I3C, when it get deployed, we expect it will be uniformly deployed in all the high-end smartphones, whether it is 4G LTE in the future or the 5G that is upcoming. UniPro, it is now in all the high-end smartphones, 4G LTE smartphones, and again, we see this UFS that is based on the MIPI UniPro and the M5 is going to be the storage interface of choice in all these interfaces as well. So we are all 5G ready. In the interfaces that is being used in the mobile diagram that we analyzed earlier. And so today we are launching this very nice 5G white paper. The title is the Making 5G Vision a Reality, a 5G self-assessment of the MIPI specification. So this will give a more detailed summary and an assessment, and also more features. If you want to look at the more details about the camera, display, audio, and all those features and what they can enable, so please download the white paper and then also the spec to read them. So internally, we are continuously doing this on an ongoing basis, not a one-shot evaluation. So to enable that, we have a internal SRP, the specification revision planning process, the workgroup planning process. We all keep the 5G as an element so that as we move forward, we will know that they we are covering the 5G. So what's the plan? Now, we are ready, but how we move forward? We are putting the 5G into the technical roadmap category of the strategic priority, which Peter and has talked about. And we want to make sure that not only we are ready, we will align the current and the future requirements with the MIPI specification. And then if necessary, we will either update the current one or we create a new specification to address the market, including the going beyond mobile. So our goal is to maintain our dominance in mobile and then move beyond. So we want to take a look at how the 5G impacts our daily life and also our mobile devices. For GLTE, we talk about mobile streaming. It affects the storage, the display, and battery life. The real-time online gaming is coming. It affects your GPU requirements. But more importantly, I think the online finances, security, and ID, those things is affecting your daily life. And then with the 5G coming, we anticipate an even more unprecedented impact to our daily life, like your home entertainment hub. You change your home entertainment behavior. It can change your social and gaming behavior with the XR and the 360 video. It can change your work behavior if it becomes your primary computing devices. It can change your business travel behavior even if you actually use it to do the HD telepresence anywhere instead of just fly there to meet. Now, people can do telepresence today, but then usually they are fixed systems and then and then the quality may not be as high. With the 5G, everything is going to change, right? So, however, all these things come in the challenges to a mobile platform. Everything faster, meaning the higher power consumptions. You use it more, and then you use it as a productivity for videos and everything, gaming. It needs a longer battery life. But these two are conflicting. How can you have higher power consumptions but longer battery life? And then the power and thermal management would be a challenge. And the RF is also going to be harder, more complex, and then we need the EMI mitigations. And the last is that if you spend all of your life on the mobile platform, the platform security, reliability, and all these are not the individual specification issues. It is a system level issues. And with that, MIPI also put the system approach as a strategic priority so that we will address these emerging 5G platforms as well as the mobile platforms, hopefully from a holistic and end-to-end system level manner. And then there are many use cases that is coming, you know, from the smartphones to notebook to head-mount display to drone to factory automation and 5G, which is in the future phases of deployment. But we will continuously do the work that we are doing on making sure we are covering the mobile, the XR, for example, the IoT, and definitely the automotive, like Matt has been talking about. So with that, I just want to quickly go through a wrap-up that we want to focus on areas that play to our strength and to make sure that we are ready and then go beyond. We want to outreach to extend our applications, collaborate with the leading organizations. We have very good track record in the working with organizations like Visa and JEDEC and with IWPC on the 5G right now. We want to utilize our existing mobile specification, leverage, and have across multiple specifications to maximize our leverage. And that's what we will do it on a continuous basis, and we need your help. Again, please give us feedback if you have any specific requirements or concerns on the specifications. My last slide, call to action, MIPI is here. We are ready for 5G. And then we want to go beyond 5G mobile, and then we need help to identify the use cases, any gaps, and opportunities. So please voice your need to the work group and start your 5G design with MIPI. And just a tagline, the MIPI mobile interfaces, we are wiring the future for 5G. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much, Kenneth. Kevin, if I can you come up to the stage so we can see if the audience has any questions for you on anything about 5G, anything you've been wanting to ask about 5G?
Be here behind you.
So I have a question.
Hey. So here?
Yes. Oh, great.
Yeah, so. 머니투데이 더리더의 박영복 기자인데요. 화웨이에 대해서 얘기 잘 들었습니다. 그런데 그 화웨이 오지가 우리나라에서 그 고민하고 있는 부분이 좀 많이 있는 것 같은데 이 백도어 관련해가지고 보안 문제가 좀 문제가 있는 것 같아요. 이런 부분에 대해서 좀 해소 부분이 있는지 그게 좀 궁금합니다.
I hear Korean. I don't hear any English.
Can you repeat your question so he can hear the translation? He missed the translation. Could you repeat the question?
Do they have translation?
No one's translating.
Could you have him repeat the question so that they can translate for him?
다시.
The question was about the 5G security concern. In Korea, we have some kind of a concern about the backdoor issue related to security. So the bottom line of the question is, do you have any kind of a resolution or the solution to relieve that kind of a security concern? And for your information, for the translation, please use the channel number 2 and you can listen to the English.
Good, I'll let you answer that. Yeah.
Do I need to?
No.
Okay. So for the security, well, this is a system-level problem. I mean, of course, then this it depends on the attack model and everything. However, just to make a short answer, BP see the security as an important initiative. We actually has a security buff that has created a way for us to, you know, look at the security in the systematic way. To address your concern that you mentioned, I don't know the specific of the concern because the security is a very complex area. We need to bring those specific use cases into the work group, and then they will work together and analyze them. As you know, security is more an attack model than a resolution model. So we have to know the attack model first in order to actually really address that. So please bring your concerns and questions to the work groups, and then we'll work on it together.
So just briefly, I would say that's a great question, and MIPI has recognized this, and as Ken had mentioned, is we are actually starting activities on security right now. So we encourage you, if you're a member of MIPI, to join the BOF. Actually, it's going to be a BOF, so even if you're not a member, mm-hmm. bring your concerns in, because we're going to start addressing that over the course of the next few quarters.
All right. Any more questions for Kevin and or Kenneth before I ask my question? All right, so let me ask my question. So what are the key challenges and opportunities that 5G is going to present to MIPI going forward?
How did you start with that first, Ken?
Challenges and opportunities.
Opportunities.
Okay, well, opportunities, I think we have, this morning we already have a few of them, right? So automotive, right? 5G is going to enable automotive in different way. And then those are something that we really want to address. Not just the A5 and automotive, those are great. But then the 5G itself, the usage in the automotive is a great opportunity. There are others, but again, because those are emerging use cases, we really have to wait until the market pan out to see what is so-called the great opportunities, and then the MIPI will move, has historically moved very well into addressing those when they pop up. And then we usually will be able to look ahead in a few years, and then we address them. The challenges, again, is the same thing, is the emerging use cases. I believe everyone here would agree that the emerging use cases, the word emerging meaning that it's coming, but no one knows what it is. So there are many visionary that talks about the emerging use cases. For example, remote surgery that he talks about. Is it really people will use this 5G to do your remote surgery, or did they use proprietary? We don't know yet, right? So the key is that those things need to be popular, and then they need to be a trend for people to need standardizations. And I think the challenge for us, both marketing and technical side, is to really look at the trend, how people would want the MIPI to help address those as a standardizations, and then we would jump on it. So,
yeah. So I would say the opportunities are great. And the obvious ones are 5G mobile phone, automotive, IoT. So the opportunities are just boundless right now. And if you look at very specific applications in 5G right now, you can start talking about we're doing a lot of stuff in camera, in imaging and vision that can go into security cameras, go into automotives. So those applications will translate across with 5G. You're talking about how we do things with displays, with audio, and what we're doing with sound wire. So there's going to be a lot of different opportunities with the different specifications within MIPI in 5G. Now, the challenges are going to be different. And probably, I think Ken kind of brought it up, is probably the key challenge will be what we do on the radio side with RFFE. And how that's going to change over time, and how do we address that Okay? And then the second thing that Ken really mentioned is the markets are emerging. The use cases are still being developed on what we're going to do with 5G. So I think those are the challenges, and that's why MIPI has made it a strategic priority right now so that we can really track as this goes on, do we need to change our specs? Do we need to create new specs? How do we need to do that? And in doing that, it's not just about creating specs. It's only if we can bring value. Because if we don't bring value into it, then there's no use doing it. So those are going to be the challenges moving forward. But even in the short term, the challenges are great right now.
All right, thank you.